clearly the central motif of Parshat Noach is the Mabul, the flood that came, the deluge to destroy the entire world. And the one individual that stands out that is saved in this situation is Noach. And the parasha opens by telling us what was the characteristics of Noach that make him so special. That Noach was an ish tzaddik, he was a righteous person, tamim haya b'dorotav, he was somebody who was pure, wholesome in his generation, et telukim italech Noach, Noach was somebody who walked with God. Having said this, a person may ask themselves very simply, well, to be a righteous person, to be a tzaddik, to be a tamim, is something very difficult to reach. It's very hard for us, even though it's a goal to aspire to ever be on the level of Noach. But we therefore find another pasuk. It happens to be the last pasuk in Parshat Bereishit that gives us another sense of who Noach was, and it gives us a sense of for what merit was Noach saved. And I think it offers us perhaps a more reasonable goal to reach in terms of what to aspire toward, that we too can be saved from the deluge that surrounds us in the immoral world that we live in. And that pasuk, which is found at the end of source number one, the pasuk tells us when Hashem says, I will blot out man whom I created from the face of the ground, from man to animal to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I have reconsidered my having made them. The pasuk tells us, V'noach matza chein b'nei Hashem. But Noach found grace in the eyes of Hashem. And the question that I'd like to ask today is, what is this midah? What is this aspect of matza chein, of finding grace in the eyes of Hashem? In fact, the Ramban in source number 2 points out that this is a general chein, it's a general favor. And it's really very much connected to what we find in the beginning of our parsha of being a tzaddik. It's just another aspect of the sitkus, of the righteousness of Noach, that in all of his actions, he was matzachein, he found favor. But pushing this a bit further, I'd like to ask us ourselves, is there a specific quality in matzachein, in finding favor? For what merit was Noach saved that perhaps we can aspire, that we too can find this chein, this favor, this grace in the eyes of Hashem? The second question I'd like to raise in this parsha is that Noah could have been saved in any form and shape. Kadosh Baruch Hu could have had him been sitting in his house, and his house could have turned into a boat, and he could have just, you know, set sail the entire year. Why was it necessary for Noah specifically to be in a teva and an ark, and specifically with all of these animals? We know, our rabbis tell us, and we'll talk about Amir Tzashem a little bit later today, that Noah did not sleep for the entire year. There are nocturnal animals who need to be fed at night. There are animals who need to be fed on all different schedules. What was Noah and his family doing in the ark the entire year? They were zookeepers. They were taking care of the animals. They did not have a moment rest. In fact, the Medrash tells us that when Noach was late to feed the lion, he walloped him and he came out limping, Noach. This was a very difficult and challenging year. The second question I'd like to ask is, what was the reason that Noach needed to be among the animals for the entire year? And as always, there are many answers to all of these questions. I'd like to Mirza Shem today to take really two approaches that are really two sides of one idea. In order to appreciate what was the Noach matzachein ve'enei Hashem, what was the quality of Noach, we need to understand what was the generation that Noach lived in and what was their sin that caused their downfall. And then Noach becomes the epitome of somebody who was able not to fall into that same, in those same sins. So when we look at the Chumash itself, we see that they were involved in immoral acts. The sons of God, whoever they may be, saw the daughters of the land and took them. We also see in our parsha, v'tachamas asher v'kapeyem, which we understand as robbery that was in their midst. When you look at the text, they seem to be, these were the major sins that the Dor HaMabul, the generation of the flood, were involved with. Halakach v'alibov Rav Shor, however, notes that there was a sin, there was a fault that preceded these, that it's that fault that then leads down to the slippery slope. And as we've spoken about in Elul, it's so crucial to find what is the core sin, that then we can understand, if we could stop ourselves at the core, then the rest of the sins won't follow suit. With this in mind, we find something very interesting in the Mishnah in Baba Metzia, source number 4. The Mishnah states the following. Masha chemenu peiros velo natan lo ma'os. Let's take a case where the buyer took the produce from the seller, but did not give him the money for it. So let's take a very basic example. Somebody wants bananas. So they pick up the bananas, but they haven't yet paid for it. Neither one can renege because the taking of the merchandise finalizes the transaction. So once you have that hagbah, that meshicha, that pulling of the bananas become yours. So even if you haven't paid for it, you have to, you're responsible to buy those bananas. You must pay for the bananas and the seller must sell you the bananas. But then there's another case. Natan lo maos v'lo mashach emenu peiros. Let's take a case where a person gave over the money, but didn't yet pick up the merchandise. In that case, both sides have the ability technically to renege. You can say, I changed my mind, I don't want those bananas. And the seller can say, you know what, I changed my mind, I don't want to sell you those bananas. Because since the produce wasn't picked up, and all there was a transaction of money, the transaction had not been completed. But, and this is the key, aval amru, but our sages have said about one who exercises his legal right to renege after the money has been paid. Mi shepara ma'anshe dor hamabul, the one who exacted retribution from the people, generation of the flood, umidor haflaga, and from the generation of the dispersion, and the Shulchan Aruch and Chosha Mishpat add, and from the Egyptians who drowned in the sea, who atili parami mishe neu amei b'dibaro, he will ultimately exact retribution from someone who does not abide by his word. We see clearly in the Torah by the Egyptians where they said, you know, we let the Jews go ahead. And then they changed their mind, no, you can't go. Okay, you can go. No, you can't go. The Egyptians, as well as we see the Dor HaFlaga and the Dor HaMabul, what was their root sin? Their root sin was not abiding by their word. Their word was not their word. And we know in source number 7, Yadua Misefer Yetzira, Shekadosh Baruch Hu Kara Bet Britodim B'nei Yisrael. We know that Hashem has two covenants with the Jewish people. There's something called Brit HaLashon, a covenant with our mouth, with our speech, and Brit HaMa'or, the Bris Milah, that we abide by moral acts, marriage, and who we marry. And the two are interconnected. One who is careful about the Brit HaLosha, careful about their speech, they are also careful about the Brit HaMahor, they're also careful about other areas of Kedusha, about morality. And therefore, in source number 8, Sharesh Chatam Shel Dor HaMabul, the core sin of the generation of the flood, the root sin, Hayah B'inyan Bris HaLashon, was in the area of speech. Ayidei Shelo Shamru Et Diburam, that they didn't keep their word. Shelo Amru Inyan Hein V'Lav, Shelo Hayah Hein Shalem Sedek, V'Lav Shalem Sedek. Their yes was not their yes, and their no was not their no. And that's why the Medrash learns on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Te'abei Dovrei Chazav, let the speakers of falsehood perish. This is a reference to the Dor HaMabul. What was the core sin our rabbis tell us? We see the result in the Chumash of the immoral acts. We see the result in the Chumash of the Hamas, of the robbery. But it doesn't start there. People don't wake up one morning and decide to marry whoever they want. People don't wake up one morning and decide to steal. It begins with something very subtle. It begins with not keeping our word. It begins with not being honest. And once one opens the floodgates of dishonesty, it goes cascading down into all areas of life. And I think, my friends, if we're honest with ourselves, we look at our society that we live in, and we look at the depravity and the lack of morality, and we also look at the speech, and we look at the way people relate to one another, it's no wonder that the two walk hand in hand. And this is why, my friends, we find that the quality of Noah on the next page in source number 10, when the Pasuk speaks about in Tehillim, Memhei, Yef Yefit Mibnei Adam, the beauty that is found within man, Hutzak Chein Bisfotecha, Sifsosecha, is when you find the favor, the grace on your lips. Al Kain, therefore, by Rachacha Elohim Lolam, Hashem will bless you, Chagor Charbecha Al Yerech Gibor Hotcha V'Hadarcha, that you'll be able to gird your sword on your loins. And this, again, the connection between the two parts of the Pasuk now makes so much sense. If you have Chein Bisfosecha, if you have grace on your lips, then you're going to have control of your Yerech, of your area of immoral acts, that the area of Kedusha, of the Kedusha HaYerech, is very much connected to the Korach HaSfatayim, where the downward slope begins is where we are with our lips. The Koach of Noach, the beauty of Noach, the Chain, the asterisks in 10, Shel Noach was the Koach HaSfatayim. That was what was Matzah Chain Bnei Hashem. L'Noach Haya Koach HaLosho. U'bezeh Nasa Chain Bnei Hashem Yitbarach V'nitzal Midor HaMabul Shepagmu B'lishomnam. The Chain in the Sifsosayim, the grace of Noach, the Noach Matzachein Beinei Hashem, what was this grace? It was his Koach HaDibur. He knew how to speak properly. His word was his word. His yes was his yes. His no was his no. Noach represents somebody who has the beauty on one's lips. As the Sfasemis points out in source number 11, the lips allow a person to have shtika, to have silence. And when a person knows how to master silence, they then know how to master speaking in a beautiful and refined way. Because if someone knows when not to speak, then they're careful when they do speak, to speak the appropriate speech. And therefore, my friends, if Noach represents the epitome of somebody who's mastered the Koach HaDibur, the strength of speech, the power of refined language, and the problem, the fault of the generation he's living in, is they didn't keep to their word, and their words were not said in a refined type of manner, we then understand a drasha of Chazal, which we all are familiar with, but now it makes so much sense in context. Source number 13, Vayomer Hashem l'Noach, and God said to Noach, Mikol habeima Torah tikach lecha shiva shiva ish v'ishta. From all the kosher, the tahor, the pure animals, take 7 by 7, man and wife. And the habeima asher lo tahora, and the animals, and from the animals that are not pure, he shnaim ish v'ishta, you take 2. And we learn here the Gemara M'sochim, that the Pasuk speaks about the value of speaking with Lashon Nekiya, of using refined speech, even where this requires using more words. The Torah doesn't tell us. And from the impure animal, the Tmeah, it says, Asher Lo Tahara, that is not pure. It is no coincidence that the Torah hints to these lessons here, and Hashem instructions to Noach regarding which animals should be given refuge in the Teva, because this is the place where we're speaking about and emphasizing Lashon Nekiya, proper and refined speech. And therefore, when we're talking about what saved Noach was this refined speech. What is speech all about? Continuing Rav Belsky, Einei Yisrael, Source 14. We know in Parashas Bereishit it speaks about Vayipach ba'pav nishmas chayim, and Hashem breathed into his nose the breath of life. The Targum translates this as Ruach Mamalala, the spirit of speech. When a human being abuses his power of speech with nivul peh, with profanities, he casts away the part of him that makes him truly human. This unrefined manner of speech corrupts his divine image. And therefore we understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy the world and then recreate the world with individuals who are able to appreciate this divine spark within them. And that's the understanding, that when you misuse your speech, a person is really destroying the spiritual essence, that which makes us special, that human aspect, that divine aspect, that which makes us unique from the animals, is our ability to speak. If we misuse that, if we speak in profane language, so then we have become very much animal-like. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu destroys the world and says, Noah, we have to recreate the world as human beings who appreciate the Tzelem Elohim, the divine image within them. And the core of that divine image is found in this Nekuda, in this aspect of speech. And with this we understand, on the first level, why Noach spends the entire year with the animals during the Mabul. It's a constant reminder to Noach. Do you know why you are saved? Do you know what the fundamental aspects of the world need to be based on? It's the difference between you and those animals. Look closely at those animals. Some animals have very high levels of intelligence. But you know what the animals are missing? They're missing the Ruach Memalala. They're missing the Koach of the Nefesh Chaya, of the divine image within them. It was a reminder for the entire year that what makes Noach unique and what has allowed the Noach Matzah Chayim B'nei Hashem, what has allowed Noach to find favor in the eyes of God, is the ability to speak. Use your speech correctly, and this is the lesson to teach the future generations, is the power of speech. And therefore it's no wonder, as Robertson Feldbrand points out in a Sefer Towards Meaningful Prayer, I'll just add here parenthetically, this was the first Sefer on Tefillah that I have found that really changed my davening in an incredible way. It's a very small Sefer. It's really, in my mind, Dvarim hayotzim min halev nichnasim el halev. Words that come out of the heart enter into the heart. And it's a beautiful Sefer, very small. So she says here that the word for ark, teva, also means word. When Hashem told Noach to enter the teva, he was also instructing him to enter into the word. This is a deeper understanding. We know that teva in Hebrew is not only an ark. Teva, osil sav, teva sav, means word. Noach is entering. Noach is being saved in the word, in the power of the word. And that is why Sichos Bodavat Hashem, Rav Meislish, in source number 18, says this is what it means to be an Anshei Kodesh Chiyunli, to be a people of Kedusha. How do we manifest our Kedusha? It's in our ability to speak. And he quotes here a beautiful Baal HaTanya, with a Hasidic pshat of what we say in L'chadodi, of Shamor V'Zachar B'dibur Achad, literally, the Shamor, the guarding of Shabbos, and the Zachar, the keeping of Shabbos, were said b'dibur echad, in one utterance. He says on a beautiful level Shibakaldibor Vidibor, with every mount of speech, Trihim Liskor Velishmor, we have to remember and guard Etaecha, the Yochi, the Miyucha, Adkan Dvarav Kadoshi. We have to remember the oneness of Hashem. However we speak during the day, our speech should reflect Yerushamayim, should be Adin, should be Kadosh, Tahor, and we have to be so careful, as he points out in 19, we have to be so careful not to speak the street language, not to speak the slang and to teach our children not to speak the slang around us, because we're so affected by our speech, particularly continuing in Source 20, v'im kein kol shechem v'chol shechem b'inyanei dibur, which is really our mahus, it's the chayus of the person. It's the kumnis halev. It's the quill. It's the pen of our heart. It's like almost a catch 22. I'd like to give examples, but by giving examples, I'm being counterproductive here. So I can't. But I think we can use our imagination that we have to be so careful not to say things. And there could be nothing intrinsically, inherently wrong in them. But understand that our speech is reflection of our divine essence. And we have to be therefore so careful of the words that we come out of our mouth are refined. They're spoken in a way that reflects a person of a spiritual stature. It's interesting, in giving the shiur today, a woman came over to me afterwards and told me a story about her father. She said she remembers as a teenager, her father was a tremendous Talmid Chacham, Chaber Sfarim. Her father once was telling a story. And then in the middle of the story, he stopped and he said, you know, this story is not appropriate for the Shabbos table. So any person of any age would be very intrigued. What was the story that's inappropriate for the Shabbos table? You can only imagine. We can only imagine. So she comes over to her father afterwards and says, you know, Abba, what was the story? So her father said, listen closely, my friends, we're not even nowhere near this level. He said, in the story was the word foot. Foot. And he didn't feel it was appropriate to mention the word foot on a Shabbos table. This is somebody who understands what it means to be in control of speech and what it means to be able to have a refined aspect of speech within your life. This is the idea in the Hasidic writings that Noach represents Shabbos. Shabbos, on the simplest level, Noach and Shabbos is very much connected one with each other. But Noach, right, the rest of Shabbos, but Noach on this level is even deeper. Because Noach is about refined speech, and refined speech is about being able on Shabbos, that our speech on Shabbos should not reflect our speech during the week. And this is what we're speaking about, that when we're talking about being in control of speech and the power of speech, Noach represents Shabbos. On Shabbos, our speech is even of a more elevated level. That our speech on a Shabbos table reflects even of a more elevated level. And when we can appreciate this koach of speech, we can appreciate what the Maharal notes, and this is in Source 21, where the Mishnah in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Beis, points out that when two people are sitting and learning Torah, then Hashem Shechina is found among them, Source 21. And if one person sits and learns Torah, then he gets a schar, he gets a reward. What's the difference between two people learning Torah and one person learning Torah? So says the Maharal, when two people are learning Torah, you have among them Dibur of the Shechina. You have the Dibur of Torah, the speech of Torah. And the speech of Torah is a Torah Shlema, is a full Torah. And Shechina is Shorah, then the Shechina, divine presence, comes down. But if one person is learning, you lack this aspect of speech, and therefore you get reward, but it's not the same aspect of Shechina, of divine presence. There's a power in our speech, and we have to be able to use this power appropriately. And perhaps as a final idea on this in 24, Rav Wilson in Emunati Techa points out, the Baal Shem Tov speaks about Sohar Taseh LaTeva. You should make a light or a stone for the Teva. Shetatzir v'tahira tevota terah v'atfila. That the Teva is the words of our Torah and Tfilah should be enlightened. This is a continuation, the Shabbos after the month of Tishrei, the first month of next month of our Cheshvan, the first Shabbos. This is the continuation of the Sukkah. How do you keep the Sukkah going? How do you protect yourself? Yeshlanu, the asterisk in 24, Teva hachofefet aleinu la'agein mehamabul. We have the words that protect us from the mabul. When we learn Torah, when we daven, we should feel that these words are being lit up, that we're being enlightened by them, that there is a power, there's a koach by them. And somehow we can enter into those words. We can immerse ourselves with a more of a concentration in our Torah study, in our davening, then that will be the protection for us, that we spend our time on the wonderful words of Torah and Tefillah, that becomes the protection from the mabul. So on the first level, the Noach Matzachain, what was the quality of Noach? What's the quality that I think we each and every one of us could aspire to? It's the chain v'sisosecha. It's the grace on our lips, knowing when to speak and when not to speak. Knowing that when we speak, we need to speak with a refinement, not speak in a street language, to speak in an elevated way that reminds us of our distinct ability to be human, to be godly. Noach is Shabbos. Shabbos, our speech, is completely different than during the week. And we are able to be in control of ourselves and our speech and respond appropriately. One final hint that I'd like to mention about the Noach was saved for the koach of speech is in 25. It says Alekach Valibo the following. Ish Shadik Tamim Haya B'Doratav, he was a righteous person in his generation, who Mechamat Sheshamar Kedushat HaDibor, because he was careful about his speech. Shelo Lifkom B'Brit HaLashon, V'Alzeh Zacha Gam Ken Lishmor Kedushat HaBrit Shelo Lifkom Bo. And that's why he was careful with the Bris Milah as well, and he wasn't like his generation. Lachain, therefore, the underline. Kishizachali Natsel Mehamabul, when he was going to be worthy of being saved from the flood, Ayudea Teva, through the ark. Hashem wanted Lirmos to hint at him, Inyanze b'midot ha-teva. Hashem wanted to hint to him through the measurements of the Teva. There's a lot of Torah on these measurements, of the reason he was being saved. And therefore, the Teva, we know, was 300 by 50 by 30. And if we know, if you take a look at the gematria of 300 is the letter Shin, the gematria of the letter 50 is Nun, and the gematria for 30 is Lamed, which spells out Lamed, Shin, Nun, Lashon, speech. That the measurements of the ark spell out Lashon speech to hint to Noah, for what reason are you being saved? For the Koach of speech. But we realize, if we know Hebrew, that we're missing a letter. It's Lashon, Chaser Vav, it's missing the letter Vav. And it happens sometimes that the Vav is missing. Why is the Vav missing? So say for Shvilei Pinchas in 26a teaches us, that any time a letter is missing, it means that there's a chisaron. There's something lacking. Like, for example, we know in the transaction between Ephron and Avram Avinu in buying the Maris Machpelah, Ephron's name in one place is missing a vav. Why? Because he was pocketing the money as Avram Avinu was weighing it out. So anyone who's doing something that's not above board, or there's something wrong, there's a pagam, there's some type of defect, it's written chaser, it's written missing. What was the pagam? What was the aspect missing by Noach? So here's the key for today, my friends. 26b asterisk. Hein emet she Noach haya tzadik tamim. Absolutely, he was a righteous person. Achayabo pegam gadol shelo hitfalel al b'nei doro. But he didn't daven for his people, and he didn't rebuke them, like Moshe Rabbeinu did. And in fact, the Navi, the Haftarah, in Yeshaya, Nundalutet, says, Ki meinoach zo liash enishpati mavor meinoach oda laaret. The flood is called meinoach, the waters of Noach, because Noach is held responsible. And now, my friends, it makes so much sense. If Noach's koach, if the whole aspect of Noach was his koach, was his ability of koach hadibor, of the ability to speak, of the koach, of the refinement of the lashon, if that is his area of strength, so therefore Noach, to have been complete, would have been able to take that ability to speak and used it to rebuke the people. He would have taken that ability to speak and brought the people closer to him. He would have taken that ability to speak and would have davened for the people. And therefore, Lashon is written Chaser Vav, because this was the defect. This was the fault of Noach. It's interesting to note, and this is in 27, that Moshe Rabbeinu becomes the one who almost rectifies Noach. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is that model of someone who davens for the people. And the prayer, the quintessential prayer, is when at the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mecheni na mesifrecha, erase me from your book. And we know that the word, Mecheni, erase me, are the same letters as May Noach moved around. Because that is the tikkun. Moshe Rabbeinu understood. How do you rectify the May Noach, the waters of Noach? By being able to say, Mecheni na, erase me. And I realize that I, as an individual, have to give myself totally over to the people. So now we have to ask ourselves a very basic question, my friends. Why didn't Noach daven for the people? What was it that Noach didn't feel that he should daven? So one approach, which is brought in the Sfarim and the Lekach V'Alibov, very deep approach, and I'm just going to do the upshot of it, is at the time of the Mabul, Dibur was in Golos. God's manifestation of open, realizing Hashem's presence, which is Dibur, Hanhaga, Hashem's way of controlling this world where you see Hashem's presence, wasn't found so openly. I mean, the people weren't holding on such a level. It was very similar to the generation in Mitzrayim, where Dibur was also in Golos. And that's why Pesach, the Arizal says, means Pesach, the mouth that now can speak. And that's why Pesach has so many mitzvahs of Dibur, Vigad to Levincha, V'cholamar Be'reiz HaMeshubach, because speech was in Golos, and now speech comes out of exile, so we utilize speech as a major component on the Seder night. So to a certain degree, Noah felt, you know, there's a distance from God. This is not a time to daven. And explains the Mefarshim, this is source number 34 on the next page. Umiva'er sham, the asterisk, ki kol adam choshev harbe pa'amim ku b'matzav shel hester b'chashkud ve'no yechol litpalel lefanav yitbarach. You know, it happens many times to people where they feel in a similar situation to Noach, where Noach felt that God's presence was far, that the deeper was in Golos, that speech was in exile. There are often times that we feel far from God, that we feel that we are not in a position to daven. We feel very distant from God. L'chol adam yesh matzavim shel yirida. Many times we feel on a low. U'bel tam hazvanim hu markish atzmo meruchak mashem yitzbarach. And we feel ourselves far from God. B'li petach latzei mimena, without the ability to get out of this bind. U'mevaer azera kodesh. And the Zera Kodesh explains, ki haitza, our job is manim elu, in these times, hu laso mahaster gufa tzvila l'ashem yitzbarach. It's to take from that darkness and make a prayer specifically from that darkness. Lasot latzmo sicha v'tfila na mizeh ba'atzmo. Sheetzok v'itchanein lefanav yitbarach shenitrachei kolkach v'ito yitbarach shmo. Sheino yachol daber karaui. V'ivakesh v'ito yitbarach shmo rachamim v'tachnunim shimchol sheachmol alav. What do we daven? We daven this tfila. We say, Hashem, I am so far from you. Hashem, I feel so distant from you. Hashem, I don't feel connected to you. Hashem, I can't even daven to you. That, my friends, is the tefillah. And that tefillah of saying to Hashem how far we are is the tefillah that's going to open up the petah and allow us then to feel that connection to be able to daven to Hashem. There are often times that we feel this great distance, and sometimes what we need to do is to open a small petah to then open up the pathways, the channel ways. There's a story that's told. It's a very long story, so I'm just going to give the upshot of the story of certain rabbanim who needed to redeem a yosom, an orphan who was supposed to get married, and the authorities, knowing that they could take out a lot of money from the small Jewish community, said, an orphan who's about to get married, that's like a great find to kidnap him, and we'll be able to ask for a tremendous amount of money. So these rabbanim, headed by the Baal HaTanya, when they were desperate. I mean, you know, when the people sell everything they have and they come up to like 1,000, whatever the exchange was then, the dinarim, the gulden, and they need like, you know, 30,000. I mean, it's like a joke. They knew there's only one person in this town who's able to give it. A Jew who was a tremendous miser, who had not given money in like 20 years. But he was their only hope. So the Baal HaTanya went with two of his students, and he told them, don't ask any questions, just come with me. And he comes, and Bekitzer, he sits down, and he speaks to this individual, and he has a whole conversation, and he tells them about this story. And this person says, oh, I feel so bad. Oh, what a story. Oh, it just gets to my heart. And he takes out like 10 kopecks, which is like, you know, a dime. And he says, here. And Baal HaTanya says, wow, what a generous person you're. Wow, such stucca. God should bless you. God should protect you, you and your family. And they walk out. And the students are about like incredulous. Like, he's giving you a dime and we need, you know, $30,000. And you're saying thank you and bless you and like, give me a break. And as they're walking down, but they don't say anything. They're not allowed to. As they're walking down the street, this rich man runs after him. Rabbi, Rabbi, please come back. I thought about this. I really feel bad. I want to give you another donation. And he gives them what? Another dime. Oh, please, thank you, thank you. Oh, bless you, got you, bless you for many years. And then they walk out. And the charade continues, and he gives a dollar, and the charade continues, and ultimately he gives the 30,000, whatever it is. And ultimately, when this whole charade was over, they asked the Baal HaTanya, they said to him, what was going on here? Why didn't you just get 30,000, whatever it was, from him? And Shalom Israel finished. And he gives you a dime, and you're blessing him as if it's the greatest blessings in the world. They just gave you $30,000. I mean, what's going on? So the Baal HaTanya said something very profound, and it has really to do with life. He says, when we walked into that man's house, he had not given charity in 20 years. He didn't have the capacity to give charity. All he could give was a dime. But when he gave that dime, that opened him up to give another. And when he gave that other, that opened him up to give more, which opened him up to give more, which opened him up to ultimately give the full amount. My friends, it's a very powerful story because it's really the soul, the fundamental aspects of life. You know, oftentimes we want to reach the top of the mountain. We're unable to. But we can start with something small. We want to be able to turn to Hashem and feel this closeness. Oftentimes we feel very distant and far. When we make that first step to say, Hashem, you're so far from me, I've given that dime, I've opened up that petach, and then I'm able to take a step forward and daven a little bit more, and then that davening opens me up to learn and to daven a bit more, and then ultimately that relationship becomes closer and closer. It's a process, and we need to appreciate the process, and we need to be able to value that process. And this is where Noach was mistaken. Noach said, if Hashem is far away, that's it, I can't daven. No, never ever say you reach a place where you can't daven. Life is about when you're far, to daven to Hashem saying, I'm far. Hashem, please have mercy. And in fact, the Pnei Menachem points out in Source 35, if Noah had unleashed the power of prayer on behalf of the generation, they indeed would have been saved. But my friends, there's another way of looking at why Noah did not daven. And this model that I'd like to share now, I think, is one of the most fundamental and important lessons for our lives that perhaps we can learn from the parasha today. Shvile Pinchas in 36 brings down the Gemara that says, Tana debe Rabbi Shmuel, af al Noach nechtach gezar din. Ela shematzach chayim b'nei Hashem. Also on Noach, there was the judgment that he shouldn't be saved, but he found favor in the eyes of God. Now, what does this mean? What was this that he found favor? Our original question, 37. The Medrash says, V'noach matzachein b'nei Hashem. Amar Rabbi Simon stated, Matzinu shakarish baruch hu oseh chesed im achronim b'tzchut harishonim. Sometimes Hashem does kindness with the later generations in the merit of the previous generations. You know, it's the model of the Bubby's tears that have an effect on the later generations. Just one more quick story, and then because we're under time here. There was once a woman whose husband was on the cabinet of Ben-Gurion when the state was founded. And in her mind, the model of the best Jew around was Ben-Gurion. So she wasn't really religious, but she lit Friday night candles. And she would daven when she lit Friday night candles that her children should be like Ben-Gurion. Then one day the Chazon Ish, Gadol Yisrael, spoke to the cabinet. And her husband came home speaking about, with praise, how this special person called the Chazon Ish and describing him. So she said to herself, wow, there seems to be a greater Jew than Ben-Gurion. And that Jew is the Chazon Ish. So she started davening that her children should be like the Chazon Ish. And Taka, one of her grandchildren, is a big Rav in Yerushalayim today. This is what we're talking about, the power of a woman's tears and the effect on future generations. Uminayin shakadosh baruch hu oseim harishonim bizchut ha'achronim. And how do we know that Hashem also allows us to be saved for future generations, then what my grandchildren are going to do is going to impact me. But Noach matzachein b'nei Hashem, and Noach found favor in the eyes of Hashem, be'ez v'schud, in what merit? V'schud toldotav, in the merit of his descendants, which the Mefarshim point out, in the merit of Avram Avinu. That the Noach matzachein, and Noach found favor, not in his own right, but he found favor because he was going to have a descendant called Avraham. And in the merit of Avraham, Noach was saved. What does this mean? So Shvile Pinchas explains, a very famous medrash we alluded to before, Shochar Tov in 38, that Noach spent the entire year feeding these animals. And when Avraham Avinu was 58 years old, Noach died. And before Noach died, Avraham Avinu had a chance to sit on his Saba Rabba's, his great-grandfather's lap, and say to him, tell me, in what merit were you saved? And Noach said, in the merit of the tzedakah and chesed and the righteousness and kindness of feeding these animals for a full year. And Avraham Avinu said to himself, wow, if that's the reward that you're able to withstand the flood because you did kindness to animals, how much more so if you would do kindness to people? And he said to himself, in 39, the arrow, Vine ein lecha chesed gadol im abrios, double underline, milikarvam lavodat Hashem. And the greatest possible chesed you could do is bring people closer to God. And this is what it means that Noach was saved in the merit of Abraham. Because Noach taught this fundamental lesson to Abraham. The fundamental lesson of Olam Chesed Yibaneh, that the world is founded on Chesed. And Avraham Avinu then took this as the model of his life. Because of this aspect of the message that Noach taught Abraham, Avraham Avinu established the world and the Jewish people based on this. It was because of this lesson that allowed Noach to be saved. And here, my friends, we enter into the difference, perhaps, between the mindset of Avraham Avinu and the mindset of Noach. We turn to the next page, source number 45, which is above 46. The pasuk tells us in last week's parasha, "Vayomer Elokim nasa adam b'tzalmenu kidmutenu," and Hashem said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness." Farshim jump up and say, "Hold on a second! How can you say let us make man? It should be let I make man. I am singular. God is singular, right? Yochi. What does it mean, let us make man?" So the Yismach Moshe explains in 46 that when the animals were created, it always says, Vayar Elokim ki tov, and God saw it was good. When man was created, it doesn't say, and Hashem saw it was good. Why? Because kietzo kol balei chayim ain b'hem shum shleimur chut me'etzem mitziutam ba'olam. When an animal is born, that's it. Right, an elephant is an elephant, so it goes a little bit bigger. A giraffe is a giraffe. I'm sure many of us have seen baby animals. They look like a regular animal. Not true with humans. That's why when animals are created, ki tov, that was it. But humans, nasa adam, understanding number 1 and 47, and the asterisks, is Hashem turns to man and says, you are not a completed being. You're born as a baby. You have to make something of yourself, obviously with my help. Nasa Adam means Hashem turns to man and says, let us make you together. You and I together will form man. And that was the model of Noah. He was a tzaddik. He was a tamim. He walked with Hashem. He worked very hard in partnership with God to make himself, to form himself. But there's a deeper understanding of Nasa Adam, and that's the Chiddush, the novel idea of today, 48. The Tosefta Harayos Perak Bed Zayin says, Minayin Shekola Shona Perak Echad L'Chaveiro. How do we know when I teach something to my friend? Ma'ala Lava Kotov Ki Ilahu Yitzro V'Rikmo V'Vio L'Olam. How do I know that you have formed him? You have created him. You have brought him into this world. You know what Nasa Adam means? Nasa Adam means that we not only have to make ourselves, that Hashem turns to each and every one of us and say, help make the next person. Go teach the next person. When you teach somebody Torah, you form them, you make them, you create them. V'tanefesh asher asu b'charan, and the souls that they made in Haran. And here the punchline of the Shvilei Pinchas in 49 is, when you teach your friend Torah, it's as if you've made him. And Rava takes this one step further. It's as if you've made yourself. When you teach somebody else, that's the best way to teach yourself. That's the best way for you to come closer to Hashem. When you are inspired and you share words of Torah, when you're in the park and you share words of Torah with a friend, when you're in the gym on the treadmill and you share a good word with somebody, when you're on the line in the shopping center or waiting in the doctor's office, and you say to somebody, you know, I heard a great shiur, I heard a great story, I heard a great word, and you bring the Shechina, the deep words you saw in the Maral, you bring Hashem's presence down, you've created them and you've created yourself and you made the world into a more godly place. You've taken the wonderful words that Hashem has given us and you've elevated them and you've brought out the divine within us. You've created divinity in others as well as in yourself. And that was the difference between Noah and Abraham. And when we don't bring out this divine aspect, when we don't teach others, and people are wallowing in the superficial aspect of this world, and in the immoral aspect of this world, he notes in Source 51 that they're really no better than animals. And therefore, the pasuk that tells us the difference between man and animal is very little. And therefore, Noah, as a punishment, was in the ark for a full year, telling him, you see these animals? Those neighbors of yours were very much like these same animals. There were no difference between them because you didn't teach them, because you didn't inspire them, because you didn't go out and try to make them into godly people. And therefore, you have to spend a year not sleeping in that smelly zoo. Could you imagine living in a zoo? Try it sometime, yeah? It's not a comfortable experience, and there's nowhere to go. Like, you can't go home and then take a shower and come back. Like, you know, this was it. This was a punishment for Noah for not being one to take his generation and raising them to levels beyond the superficial, beyond the animal and the animal desires. And therefore, my friends, what the Chumash is teaching us is that Nasa Adam, to make yourself into a B'nai Avraham, and the S'chus that Avraham is the one who is the father of our nation, is based on this ability to have concern for others, to teach others, and to be concerned with the welfare of others. And this perhaps is a deeper understanding in 54 of the idea of et hamas We spoke about that robbery. You have the word Hamas later on when Sarah is upset about the injustice in the way Hagar is treating her. And she turns to Abraham at the end of 54 and says, Hamasi Alecha, the injustice is upon you. And the rabbis explained that the injustice was that Avraham Avinu did not daven for her as well to have children, only him. And she says, in a certain respect, you have stolen from me. You haven't davened for me. And we see here the Hamas, the robbery, on some level was that Noah was responsible. And people are responsible to daven for each other. And when you don't daven for another, that is the biggest robbery that can be found. Again, Rebbetzin Feldbrand's book, Toward a Meaningful Prayer. Each day a person should pray on behalf of the sick to recover, on behalf of the well that they may not fall sick. He should pray for those in prison, for women in childbirth, for those who are childless, for those who have children, that the children live a God-fearing life. And he brings down here a very beautiful idea we've spoken about, that Erev Rosh Chodesh is really a very beautiful time to daven for the community. And that I met a woman representative from Montreal today who says that in the Montreal community, indeed, they have this. That in many communities, they have women get together the day before Rosh Chodesh, Erev Rosh Chodesh, and do the Tehillim Mechulak, divide up Tehillim. It's a time where we take responsibility for our community and daven for our community. 57, if we do not take our Siddur, our Tehillim in hand to pray on behalf of others, it indicates that either we do not believe in the power of prayer or that we are indifferent to the pain of our friend, God forbid. When we daven for the greater benefit of our fellow Jews, we ourselves benefit. And he tells a great mashal, the Dumno Magi. If a fire erupted in a city and everyone rushed to extinguish the fire, the city would be saved. But if each individual were to rush to his own home, the fire would get bigger and bigger, eventually destroying the city. If we all pray for the general welfare of the community, then all are saved. If we pray only for ourselves, then no one is saved. Sensitivity to others, a double underline of 58, should be cultivated. When passing a handicapped or needy person on the street, one should say a short prayer on his behalf. We hear an ambulance go by. We scroll down on our email that someone is sick. These are opportunities to cultivate sensitivity, to cultivate what it means to be a Jew, to daven for somebody else. And it's interesting, the Tiva Avoda of Rabinowitz goes one step further. On the Pasuk Vayigash Avraham, that Avraham came forward to daven for the people a stone, he notes in source number 60, he says, Maisa Avot Sima Labani, V'tzariyah Kol Echad Lomol Mimasa Zesh El Avravinu, we all have to learn that if bad news comes to you, or your friend comes, lishpoch lefanav et asher bilvavov, someone's pouring out their heart to you. Im yachol lazor lo b'poem, I'll tell them a night. If you can help them, great. But if you can't, then the least you can do is daven for them. And v'lo b'chinam shalach davka eilav et chavayro lasiach levavov b'fanav. Understand that it's not by accident, even though we live in a Hester punning world, in a world of concealment. Understand the next asterisk in 60, that kol davar shebalo ladam, anytime a person comes to you specifically, or a situation comes to your attention, hu b'miyuchad elav, it's given to you specifically. And likewise, good news also to rejoice. Umutelet alav ashlichlo lif'ol bo mashu v'letekno, we have the responsibility. You can't say, well, what do you want from me? It's not up to me to daven. Greater people are there to daven. Greater people can help this person. That may be true. But Ashkocha has it that this person came knocking on your door at 2 a.m, crying on your shoulder. You have the responsibility to daven for them, to take pity on them, to give them the emotional support or whatever that they may need. Things are not random. When you hear of bad news, it's meant, or someone needs a refuah, or someone needs a shidduch, or someone needs children, it's meant for you to daven. That's the responsibility of Kol Yisrael Ravim Zeh L'Zeh. Every Jew is responsible one for another. I'd like to share with you an email. Baruch Hashem, I get literally hundreds of emails a year. There's only one email I've ever printed up and saved. It's an email dated February 5th, 1998, a few months after our eldest Rachel was born. It's an email, even though I see the name on the top of the email, I don't recognize who this person is. It was somebody from a class I used to give in Los Angeles in JSI, Jewish Studies Institute, mostly Baalei Tshuva and women in the community. I was teaching Melachim for a number of years. And this woman wrote the following email, and it really touched me as this idea of the sensitivity we're talking about. She wrote the email to Rachel, and she wrote the following. Hi, I sat in the class that your mom was teaching one day. It was a difficult class to sit through as she compared King David's understanding of his harp with her own understanding of feeling she would have to live a childless life. Thank God you are here, Rachel. It was a class I never forgot for so many reasons. But that day, I said a very special prayer for your mom. Thank you, God, for answering that prayer. And it really resonated with me, this idea of somebody who I don't even know, who understands that when you hear a shir like this, the response, the sensitivity, is to say a prayer for this individual. And to be able to thank God for the prayer being responded to, that's the godless of the Jewish people. That's what makes us the Am HaNivchar. That's what makes us so special. Our final idea, and then we will summarize in 61. The Sforno points out, at the end of the Mabul, at the end of the flood, when all was said and done, Hashem makes a sign in heaven that there will never again be a flood. Where we see how the score Brit Olam, and I will look upon it to remember the everlasting covenant. And the obvious question that the commentators ask is, why was it necessary to make a covenant? Does God need a covenant to remember? Obviously not. The Sforno points out so beautifully, I'll regard the result of the bow, which is the prayers of the righteous as they stand in the breach to turn away my wrath from destroying the world. When we see a rainbow, our immediate reaction, at least mine is, most of you here are much holier, you say, wow, what a beautiful rainbow. You want to show people, even though you're not supposed to show people. You say a blessing because this reminds of the Midas Adin, of the strict justice in the world. That's why you're not supposed to show, you know, other people that there's a rainbow out there. It's hard to control oneself because rainbows are really beautiful. What is the correct response of after saying a blessing? When you realize that a rainbow is a time of strict judgment, that God would want to destroy the world but has that rainbow as a reminder, it's a time to take out a Sefer Tehillim and to daven, and to ask Hashem, please, move from the seat of judgment to the throne of mercy. And that's really the essence of what being Jewish is about, of learning to see the rainbows in life, learning to be able to see and understand the signs of life, that our job as Jews is to constantly be saying Kapitel Tehillim for the handicapped, for the wheelchairs, for the sirens, for the people we see along the street every day, and be able to daven that Hashem should give people a refuah shlema, that Hashem should give people strength. And this is our responsibility of a Noach, to go out and make man. And ultimately, that's how we make ourselves. So therefore, in conclusion, my friend, Noach Matzachein, what was the quality of Noach that he found favor? It was the quality of speech, refinement in speech, Shabbos, knowing how to speak appropriately, and the way we describe the animals that are not kosher, that are not pure. This is the way we need to be a little bit more careful in the speech that we use and not to fall into the jargon of the street language around us. But Lashon, the measurements of the Tevar are written without a vav. Always the gates are open to daven. Sometimes we have to inch our way through those gates, but they're always open. But even more importantly, Noach on the second level was saved because of Avraham Avinu, because Avraham Avinu understood the idea of Nasa Adav. It means that you go out, that you care about others. Noach is saved in the Teva, the first, because he's saved in the word to remind himself what makes him unique from animals. And the second, as a punishment, because you didn't teach the people around you, they were no better than animals. And therefore, as a punishment, you have to spend the year with animals. Our job, my friends, is to learn the lesson and to be able to go out and share words of Torah with others, make ourselves, make others, create godliness in this world, and ultimately to cultivate the sensitivity of being able to daven for all those around us with heartfelt prayers. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer all our tefillos l'tova.